Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 55, verses 12 through 14 will serve as our text. A little bit of a longer text than we usually use here on a Sunday morning. But since it's all one thought, we're going to take it in its entirety. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me that I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me that I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Now, Psalm 55 is a psalm of David, and the background to this particular scripture is this. Ahithophel once had served as the king's counselor, King David's counselor, but in the rebellion led by David's son Absalom against King David, we read this. Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. 1,000 years later, Judas Iscariot entered the Garden of Gethsemane with a multitude from the temple to complete the act of betraying the one that he had called Master, offering him a kiss. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Now this morning we're going to be talking about betrayal. Not everybody's favorite subject, but certainly a very relevant one. One which we have all experienced. First, betrayal is common to men. Secondly, forgiveness is the antidote for betrayal. We don't present a problem or a sinful proclivity without providing the antidote. God did not present the truth that you and I, every one of us, everybody in my hearing this morning, that we're all sinners without providing the antidote, namely his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent down 2,000 years ago, that he might die on the cross and pay the penalty for sin. That a relationship between sinful man and holy God might be made possible. Third point this morning, God never has and God never will betray you. You can mark that down, you can take it to the bank. And we're going to look at that as we conclude this morning. First, we'll present the problem. Betrayal is common to men. We can all remember a time when, as young children, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, we first experienced this. We were in the schoolyard, and the little boy, a little girl that we thought was our friend, whom we'd grown up with and gone many places with together, suddenly turned on us and took sides with the children who were picking on us. And we were destroyed. How could this happen? A friend from our youth turning on us like that. You know, I thought you were my friend. And we went home sad, in tears, seeking solace from our earthly mother and father. And then we became teenagers. And teenagers, of course, had gotten a little more sophisticated in their betrayal. Sometimes they would do it up front, but more often they would go through the back door. And now there are more opportunities than ever for teens and young adults and even grown men and women to go through the back door with social media and all of these kinds of things and betray other people. So most, if not all of us, and I would submit that it's the latter, have been or perceive that we have been betrayed by friends, by relatives, some even by parents, by children, by a spouse. Ouch. If this describes your case this morning, Jesus understands. Why can I say that with such confidence? He's been there. One who traveled everywhere with him for over 3 years betrayed him with a kiss. In David's case, he was betrayed by Ahithophel. And what do we read in our text? They took sweet counsel together and they walked to the house of God in the throng. He was betrayed by his friend in church. This so-called man of God stabbed him in the back. How do you like them apples? It can even happen in God's house, even by those who are or pretend to be mature fellow believers. In our text, David makes the point that it would be much easier to deal with betrayal from a relative stranger than by somebody who is close to you. Right, he says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it." Now, if I'm standing outside before the service this morning and somebody walks by and has a few choice words for me, I can live with that. That's no skin off my neck, right? I mean, I don't even know that guy. You know, maybe he doesn't like, you know, Christ, or he doesn't like the church, or, you know, or he doesn't like people with brown hair or whatever it is. So, you know, he's walking by. Yeah, that's all good. That's not going to hurt too much. That's not going to hurt too much. But when a friend betrays you, when somebody you love betrays you, your partner in life or somebody you've known your whole life betrays you, boy, that's smart, son. The closer the relationship, the more the betrayal hurts. So what shall we say then? Indeed, betrayal is common to men because sin is common to men. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. People betray others for many reasons. And as I go through this list of reasons, which is by no means exhaustive, there's no limit to the sinful imagination of men and women when we're left to our own devices and fleshly thoughts and desires. But as I go through this list, you're going to think of some people. But also as I go through this list, I want you to consider that it may be so that these things describe the one that you looked in the mirror this morning. And I certainly did this myself, as I always do, preparing this sermon, preaching it to myself first. And as you take these things in, take a look at these things in the context of you, yourself, and you, before looking outside of yourself. Take a look at both aspects. Not only have you been betrayed, and I'm sure that you have as I have, but it is also true that you've betrayed others at certain times. And so you're on both sides of these coins. So try to make the applications coming from both directions. People betray others for many reasons. First, to fulfill lustful desires. Now, David wrote this Psalm 55, and he's talking about Ahithophel's betrayal of him and how he went and joined up with his son Absalom in the rebellion against King David, his father. But remember now, what actually brought David and Absalom to this point. One of the judgments that God meted out and disclosed to the prophet Nathan to David for his sinful adultery with Bathsheba and his murder. We don't want to sugarcoat it. It may be murder by proxy, but it was murder of Uriah, was discord amongst his children, one with another, and his children with himself. So people betray others for many reasons. Now, King David betrayed Uriah, who was an officer in his army, sent him to the front line and had him murdered so that he could have Bathsheba for himself. He betrayed him to fulfill his own lustful desires. Another reason people betray others: for greed. Need we look no further than Judas, who betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. For expediency, in our text, for peer pressure, popular wave. It seemed to Ahithophel that Absalom was going to be the next ruler in Israel, right? After all, Absalom had come in and, by stealth, going through the back door, incited a popular uprising against his father, King David, and had taken control of the city of Jerusalem. And King David had, as Christ would do 1,000 years later, crossed the brook Kidron into the wilderness. And Ahithophel joined forces with the one who he thought was the winner. He went with the flow. Peer pressure. No loyalty, but betrayal. For power. Loss of control over another is perceived, or to gain power. We see this all the time with politicians, right? And we see it in the work world, in corporate America. People stab somebody else in the back so they can get that next promotion or keep somebody else from going forward. Also, with regard to making empty promises in order to string somebody along, in order to kind of hold them down to the place where they are. Humanly speaking, we see this, a good instance of this, in the story of Jacob with Laban. When Laban had promised that he could serve for 7 years, and after the 7 years was up, Laban would give Jacob his daughter as a wife, and by deception he gave Leah, his oldest daughter, when Jacob had in fact worked for Rachel, which is the original agreement. And so he strings him along for another 7 years, and finally he gives Rachel as a wife, and then he continues to string him along. Sort of a carrot and the stick approach. But nevertheless, he betrayed the trust that Jacob had in the oath that his relative Laban had made to him. People betray others for the purpose of revenge sometimes. Feeling that they had been wronged, they strike back. We see this in family court. You ever go to family court on Doran Street in Providence and just talk to people or listen and pay attention to the web the spider's web of betrayal that's going off in every different direction. You can't figure out the truth from the lie. There is so much betrayal that is taking place. We also find betrayal in the context of the assembly of believers, the church, the ecclesia. Jeremiah experienced this. The apostate teachers of Israel felt like Jeremiah was cutting into their prestige because he was doing what? Teaching the truth. And so they sought to betray their countrymen, one who had performed a great many spiritual services for them in the past. And so too they did with Christ. So too they do today. When religious leaders come forth espousing false doctrine, what do? They go after those who are exposing their false doctrine. I'm not sure if that came out right. But those who are, who are preaching Christ for other motives, typically spend a lot of time going after other Christians, right? Especially those who are holding fast to the biblical truth because it's cutting into their profits or prestige or power or what have you. So be they saved or not, God knows. This is certainly a betrayal within the household of faith that is taking place. Talked a lot about betrayal. I think we've laid it out and reasonably sure that we have a good grasp of the problem or an identification at some level. So let's look at the antidote. Forgiveness is the antidote for betrayal. Forgiveness is the only option that glorifies God. You want to lash out in anger? Go ahead. But you're only going to add gasoline to the fire. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. God will deal with the problem justly if you don't take it into your own hands. Have you not learned yet that when you try to deal with the problem through your own power, through the flesh, and you leave God out, that the whole thing becomes a convoluted mess? So why not let God have at it? Give him a shot. Why not? What forgiveness is not? Forgiveness is not excusing sin or sinful behavior. Forgiveness is not ignoring it. Forgiveness is not enabling it. And forgiveness is not becoming a doormat. Forgiveness is none of those things. We're not called to be any of those things. We're not called to compromise our beliefs and injure others by doing nothing. But we're called to forgive in the biblical sense. Let's define it. What forgiveness is? Well, forgiveness entails releasing ourselves from bondage by casting all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. When we refuse to forgive, what happens? We carry a burden of bitterness in our hearts. It negatively affects our relationships horizontally with each other. And when our relationships with one another are not right, we begin to develop major trust issues and sinful thought patterns, which in turn affect our vertical relationship with God. All of these things are interconnected. We as Americans, we like to compartmentalize everything. And we like to say, well, okay, I've got a great relationship with God, but I really don't get along with that guy, that one, and the other one. And we begin to excuse our inaction in putting God's principles into play. Forgiveness is not a suggestion, but a command, divinely given for the good of our own souls. We read in the scriptures, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, let's try to finish the verse. I would make a suggestion that you do this if it is convenient at this time. Now, that's not right. That's not going to fly. So you also must do. Imperative command. God doesn't give you the option. When you take the option, you're taking the path that is going to lead you out of the will of God. And that's only going to lead to trouble. In the Lord's Prayer, in the Gospel of Luke, we read, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Can you really pray that prayer? One of the conditions that God sets for forgiveness on the vertical plane is that we exercise forgiveness on the horizontal plane. It doesn't matter if they deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve to be forgiven. None of us deserve to be forgiven. But God forgives us, right? This is what being Christ-like is about. This is the basis for a forgiving attitude towards others. The basis for such a forgiving attitude towards others is this. You have received forgiveness from God. Therefore, go and do likewise. How many times are we told to do that in the scriptures? Go and do likewise. Be imitators of Christ. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Not me. The Apostle Paul said that. In Him, Christ, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. God never has and God never will betray you. God is for you. He knows what His plans and His purposes are for you. And they're for your own good and for His own purposes and for His own glory. That's why we're here, by the way. Yes, trials and sufferings have come. It's a result of sin that's in the world. God promised they'd come. The trouble comes as the sparks fly upward, right? In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, saith the Lord. And again, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Great promise repeated threefold. Old Testament and New. The Lord has never let you down, He never will. Will you trust Him with your eternal soul if you haven't yet? He says that the one who comes to Him, he will in no wise cast out. He won't kick you to the curb when you come to Him with a broken heart and with a contrite spirit. Man may let you down. Man has let you down. But God won't, even though you've let Him down millions of times over. This is the God of second chances whom we worship and whom we serve. Will you trust God to mend your broken heart of the betrayals of your past? Will you take that baggage, throw it in a little shopping bag and drop it at the foot of the cross? And go forth with a burden that is more than a little bit lighter? Will you trust Him enough to obey Him and to do something radical and life-changing to forgive? Father God, we thank you that you have chosen to forgive us when you've had every right in the world not to. That through your mercy, that we can find forgiveness as we boldly approach your throne of grace. Lord, if there be any here this morning who are not sure that they're forgiven, may the Holy Spirit convict the heart of such a one that forgiveness is possible, that forgiveness unto salvation is promised to those who come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there are any here this morning who have been betrayed, as David was betrayed, as your son was betrayed, but haven't let it go, Lord, do a work in that heart such as only you can do. To Jesus Christ be the glory in all things. Amen and amen.